Good morning.
Good morning.
Nope, I haven't done it for a while, and I'm going to do it today. I want you to stand up and greet your neighbor with these words. Spring is on the way. God loves you. Come on, get up.
Hey, girl.
Now, good morning.
Good morning.
See, God loves you. Yeah, we haven't done it in a while, and you guys, somebody said, was I going to use this to hit somebody over the head today? And I'm telling you, don't let me catch you falling asleep during sermon. And it's a beautiful morning. Yes, I went out and plucked the flower out of the garden this morning. And I'm not ashamed. And I defy you to walk out there. What are these again?
Daffodils.
I know flower grass. All I know is I defy you to go out there and not smell one of them this morning and just fall in love with Jesus Christ and this symbol all over again. It stunned me for a minute. So, you know, don't run through them, but go out there and smell them. Man, that's beautiful. And I am also doubly blessed because last Sunday we went to Western Maryland and I had Frank there to help me out. And Chris delivered the message. See what you missed by not being there? Next time, don't let it happen. And so that was a big blessing as well. We want to keep Tilly in mind. But she's still, I imagine when the weather gets a little bit more warmer, she says she'll be back. And Margaret, good to see you today. You've got your angel there helping you out, right? That's right. That's what you told me last Sunday, my little angels. And that's what grandmas are supposed to do, is spoil. You got it. Others this morning, joys, concerns, what's on your heart today? If there are none others, and if you have just something laid on your heart today, as we come before the Lord, let us spend a little time in meditation. And if there is something unspoken, just a hand up and down as you come forward. Thank you. Thank you. Let us join our hearts together. We get caught up in moments where the joy that we have is just too much to put into words. We look for that joy in something as simple as a flower coming forth after a long, cold winter, the birth of a child, the laughter after a joke. We find joy unimaginable, Father, and you gave that to us. But first, to really enjoy that fulfillment, let us ask for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us clean ourselves. Let our hearts be emptied out. Let you, Father, look upon us and say, I forgive you. I forgive you. Let us enter into your court with praise and thanksgiving. Let the words that lay upon our hearts that were not spoken today be heard by you. And you know what they are. And after forgiveness of sins, after we've come before you and begged again for your mercy and your grace which covers us yet again, let us see what true joy is all about. Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing us here together today in this place, in this time, that we may fellowship with the saints and be wrapped by the Holy Spirit. Let us not forget to keep in our hearts close and in our prayers a special thank you for all those who participated in our mission to help Jean. Let us also be mindful of those not here with us today, unable to share due to sickness or travel or whatever the reason, Father. Watch over, keep them, and bring them back. Watch over this country, this world, this community. I pray, Father, that we quit trying to do our own will and pay attention to what you said to do. Bind us together. Join our hearts in prayer as we pray the way you would have us, as the way Jesus taught us. Let it be fresh and new coming from our lips, not just murmured or mumbled, but with passion and honor that we are given these words that you will hear. And may they be unto your glory as we pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. John chapter 19. Our scripture lesson starts there today. And thank you, Linda, although she's not in the room. Her little resurrection egg story told me I'm headed in the right direction today. John chapter 19. Verse 16 verses. And because it is the first of the month and we haven't done it for a while, I would ask that you would join with me if you are able to and stand for the reading of the word of our Lord. And listen as we recount what happened so long ago, but is still as fresh as yesterday. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple rug and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. And once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for charge against him." And when Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe, Pilate said to him, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to the law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid and went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have the power to either free you or crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar, and anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, put it in our hearts and minds that we may hear this message, that we may get something from it, that it may strengthen us, that it may grow within us and blossom into an ever, ever want of sharing the joy of your Son, Jesus. Watch over and keep us through this service. Let these words be yours, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I know it's early yet. I don't want to hear about it. We don't have seasons, really, when you start walking through those doors. We have whatever has been put out for the message. I can tell you right now that if I'm called to, I'll speak about Easter in December. Because it's a story that has no beginning and no end. It continues to lift us up. And I know I'm starting to talk about Easter already, but for me, it's not soon enough. We can joy in Christmas, in the birth of our Savior, but the reason we sit here is because He was strong enough to bend, but not break. A while back, we had a windstorm come through. Now, and I'm hoping it'll be this spring. As a matter of fact, I'm sure it'll be late spring, early fall, or early summer. You guys will all be coming up to the compound to see tractors and eat food and have a picnic up at my house. And you'll get a chance to see the hill, which is pretty nifty to me, maybe not so much to women. But on the hill, we get the wind, and we get a lot of it. And when the wind gets to going the right way, it moves things around up there. A lot. I have a grill that sits on the porch. I have routinely went and got that grill from one side of the porch and put it back on the other where it belongs. I have seen the wind throw things around in that yard. And down below me lives my aunt with a stand of pine trees forevermore tall. And I've told her time and time again, you need to cut them things down. One of these times a windstorm's going to come through and they're going to break them off and land them all on your house. And of course, nobody listens to me, even though I know what I'm talking about. And recently we had another windstorm come through and I sat in the window and watched the trees all around us, including the two big ones on my house, just bending and carrying on. And I thought, any minute now. Storm passed. There were a few twigs in the yard. Why didn't they break? We had a big old pine tree a couple of years back. The wind blew and broke that thing in half. Standing out there by itself. By itself. I finally got my answer when I started thinking about the name of this sermon. I called Wendy a couple of weeks ago and I said, write this down so I don't forget. I read an article by a woman named Natalie Dowell who wrote this. My volunteer maple tree started growing in my yard about a year ago and showed me something last night. You see, during the year, we have a lot of wind. Blows almost every single day. It is very destructive to things on the property. Looking at the tree a while back after the leaves came in, I noticed that a few forks of branches had become intertwined and wrapped around each other, so to speak. So I separated them. Now, mind you, this is a pretty lanky tree. And if you've ever seen a volunteer maple, they get up there. It's 12, 15 feet tall. It has no trunk really to speak of. It's just a bunch of branches. Easily susceptible to damage. Watching it last night, though, I saw how it bends. Flowing with the wind. Bending just enough. And giving back this way just enough. And here a little bit of support and coming back over this way so that it didn't break. And the more it blew, the more the branches I had separated became intertwined until they wrapped around themselves and they afforded support to the group and the tree could bend without breaking apart. I'm sure the branches wouldn't have survived. And I went, oh, I think I got it. I'm not a smart man. I'll tell you that. Ask my wife. I made the mistake here a while back when the dryer broke of looking at her and going, well, ain't we got a clothesline? Did that break too? I fixed the dryer, so just calm down. We had another windstorm after I read this article, and now I watched with a different interest. I watched that group of pine trees, and I saw what was being said. They're planted so close together that as the wind blows, they pack in and become as one. The wind doesn't even hardly move them. It bends them as a group. It bends them as a group. It moves them this way. But it doesn't break and snap and carry on because it moves around them. And while it shakes them, it bends them without breaking. And Natalie went on to write, sometimes I get in a state of mind so bad that I want to withdraw and separate myself from everything and everyone. Nothing and no one holds my interest. In a way, I've been drifting from some of my friends who love me and are constantly reaching out to me. I have drifted away from them because I get so caught up in feeling that loneliness, that moment that I'm going to bend to the point that I break. It's in these times I want to hide the most instead of reaching out. And then she goes on to write this, and this is where her and I go different. She wrote, watching that tree last night, I realized Mother Nature's design is not for us to weather storms alone, find something to wrap up in and bend. She almost had it right toward the end. No, not Mother Nature, Jesus. Jesus, who bent without breaking. If you cannot read those words in John 19 and feel the tears fighting to get out, I'll read them to you again and again and again until you start to feel a bend without breaking. We need that to wrap up in. We start to draw back. Things get to going on in our life and we begin to think it's just us. We're all alone. There's nothing there. We've got friends reaching out. How can I help you? What can I do for you? You've got your church family. You've got your family members. And what do? Oh, what was me? You become like the pine tree on my property that stood by itself completely in the wind and broke. Unlike the pine trees that I think pose a danger to my aunt's house are actually protecting it. Amen. Jesus, in these 16 verses, showed us we are never alone. We too can bend without breaking. Let's talk about being alone for a minute. Everybody, has anybody in here ever really been totally alone? I try. I come home from work and, oh my golly, I got to get away. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to be. So I go down to my man cave, my shop, the place where all men want to be. And I go in and I shut the door and I look in there and I'm like, ah. And I turn the bluegrass on and I look around and I say, I can have some time to myself and I'm alone here. And maybe I'll sit down and read some Bible verses because I got a Bible down there. Or I'll fix something that's broken, or I'll break something that needs fixing, or I'll do something and I'll think it's all to me and Daddy.
Yes?
Can we come in? Well, you can't say no. You open the doors up, and what do? If you're in a shop, you sit down and watch the destruction unfold. Daddy, can we do this? Can we do this? Can we do this? And then you suddenly realize God never intended for you to be alone. Ever, 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 never. That's why he sent him. So that you can bend without breaking. So that you don't have to suffer the storms alone. So that you're not the pine tree on its own. You're the group that binds together. We don't know alone until we go back and read these scriptures. Maybe I need to read it again. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they clothed him with a purple robe. And they went up to him again and again saying, oh, you can see it. Hail, King of the Jews. You can see him making fun. And people gloss over that little extra part of that verse. They struck him in the face. He was alone. Bending in the storm, preparing a path for us, looking out and saying, I'll show you that you can't break. Everything was going there, loneliness, despair. His friends had even deserted him. We'll talk about it later on in a month. What'd Peter do? Well, I'll never deny you. I'm the man. Hey, ain't you the friend of Christ? Where's he going? He ran away. But Jesus knew what was coming. And he settled it out right there. I watched those trees and I thought, oh my goodness, I don't have to be alone. When somebody calls up and says, hey Paul, can I come help you do something? Yeah. You were sent here for a reason. Jesus showed me that when somebody is calling, it's God answering my despair, my almost moment to break. You know, I wondered if I was on the right path for this sermon. I always wonder. And Chris came into my office this morning, and I was reading the Lancaster Farmer this morning. And Chris goes, "Is that how you prepare for a sermon?" And I went,
"Isn't how I said that."
And I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, yeah." And I pulled an article out of the magazine, 560 saplings for Virginia of chestnut trees are trying to be planted. Now, if you don't understand what a chestnut tree means to me, here's a quick, real quick education. At one time of day, the chestnut tree covered this area. You couldn't throw a dead cat in any direction without hitting one. And the blight took them away. Take a look at any old barn you'll see anywhere. Go ahead, men, start nodding your heads. What are they built from? Chestnut. Because chestnut was the tree. You could do everything with it. You could build clocks out of it. You could build a kitchen table out of it. You could build a barn that would stand against the time and survive. And one simple thing, the great tree was taken by the blight. They bent and they broke. But they're trying again. I have seen in my lifetime one chestnut, American chestnut tree. I know exactly where it's at. I will go there again soon and check on its progress and hug it. I'm a tree hugger. And Frank followed my sermon up. Y'all saw me carrying this with a club. This is called a siphon tube. This is serious business here. It may not look like much to you, but the minute Ellis laid his eyes on it, he goes, "Oh yeah, I know what this is. Yeah, this is an ammonia gauge for a compressor for making refrigeration." Thank you, Frank. But this tube is soft copper. You can take and smash it with a hammer. You get a pair of pliers, you can actually crush that tube. But see, the purpose of that tube is to keep condensation down in here, not let it get in the gauge and ruin those coils. But this has to be bent carefully, or it'll break. It has to be done just right, under the right amount of heat, with a very special tool in order to make it bend so that it will do the job it's supposed to do, or it will break. And the date on this gauge is 1918, so I'll guarantee you that piece of copper is that old and still good to go. Jesus Christ looks at each and every one of you and says, "I'm going to bend you without breaking you, but I'm going to give you the tools to get away from being bent. When you're alone, when you're lost, when you're despaired, when you're out there, I will cover you. Because I can bend you without you breaking. I'll get you through the storms. I will wrap you up." All I want to do today is talk about Jesus. That's all I want to do today. I don't want to give a bunch of crazy stories. I'm just so wrapped up in watching those trees and catching a hold of the book of John and this chapter all over again that I am enamored with the man that we call Jesus, with the reason that we have a salvation, with the reason that you can be passionate about him, with the reason that one day you know that you're going to heaven, that there are rewards eternal laid up, all because a man stood up on a piece of wood and bent without breaking. Amen. And if you think I'm lying, read your Bible. Thank you for having those eggs today. The spear answered prophecy. Not a single bone would be broken. It actually went in between the ribs. I want to talk about him. I want to think about him. I want to know about him. Because I'm finding out, guess what? He loves me even though I am an idiot. He loves me for the stupid stuff I do. He loves me for the moments of clarity that you get when you suddenly realize that Jesus Christ is the author of your life and that you don't have to be alone. Ever. You cannot walk away from power like that. The writer in Hebrews chapter 12 wrote these words, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy..." Now listen, get a Bible, underline this sometime. "Who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, so that you will bend without break and praise God. I cannot tell you what an influence that sudden moment I saw has had on me. I hate bending. I don't do it well. I like things to be right down the middle, nice and easy. And since the day I can remember anything, it has never, ever been like that. By show of hands, how many people have ever had everything right down the middle, just nice and steady and easy in a smooth highway? Then you need Jesus. Every day, all day. Every day, all day. You need to know that you are never, ever alone. Whatever is tearing you apart inside, he already knows. He already went here and put that nastiness on. Without breaking. Linda talked about it in the resurrection. He prayed in the garden, God, would it be that this cup would pass from me? No, and it couldn't. Let me ask you a question. How many people are ready to get beat, whipped, and hung on a cross like him to save another human being? You'd want to. And he did it. He showed us that there are things in this world that are going to bend and that they're going to break. But I surely am not that one. And surely if you are in me and I am in you, if you have called my name and asked me to save you, then there I am within you. You will bend, but you will not break. Never will you be alone again. You are forgiven of your sins. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power and forever and ever. Amen. I can't get past this today. And I can't stop smiling about it. Who wants to know that whatever's coming your way, he's right there ready to cover you up? Say amen. Raise your hands up. Do you want to go out them doors and face the world without him? When you see that storm blow, when you see those trees bending, and the first thought you have in your mind, like mine is, they're going to break off. Maybe you should stop for a minute and take a different look. When you see the storm clouds coming at your life, and you know you're going to be thrown about, maybe you need to stop and hit the knee for a minute and say, okay, let's get through this. Max Lucado had one of the greatest things in his book, 6 Hours, One Friday. I think it's at the beginning of this book, but I can remember the story as readily as anything. He lived on a boat in Florida. And he loved living on a boat, him and a couple other guys, while they was going to college down there for whatever seminary. They lived on a boat. And here come a hurricane. And they, we living on a boat, man, we got to tie this boat fast. We got to take his boat in and anchor it to the shore. We got to get ready and tie it to some trees. And a man, an old fisherman, an old guy on a boat, was going by them while they were doing this. He said, what are you doing? And they said, we're getting ready for the storm. He goes, you're going to lose everything. What do you mean? Take that boat out into deep water and drop as many anchors as you can deep and secure it and get ready. And so they did. And hurricane came and went. And the boats on the shore got broken. And while their boat suffered minor damage, it lived through it. It bent without breaking. It was rooted deep enough it could bend without breaking. That's you, brothers and sisters. My love for you is the knowledge that you get rooted deep enough to bend without breaking. That you know the Christ that I know. That you hear the words that Peter has spoken. The day is coming. First of all, in a couple of weeks it'll be here where we'll celebrate his resurrection. Can't wait for it. I am actually getting wound tight about it. people start talking about Easter and candy and everything like that, and that's all well and good. It's all like candy. But I also love hearing that story told over and over again. The tomb was empty. He was not there. He went to hell. He fought off death. He stepped out of there and said, "Now do what I tell you to do. Accept me. You're saved. And you will never go to hell." Amen. You will bend, but you will not break. I will show you strength. I will give everything I have to you if you simply call out on my name. If you do not let it go by the wayside, you will be everything. The prophet writer Isaiah had these words, the helper of Israel, in his beauty, his writings. The helper of Israel. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8. Open your Bibles up. You should learn, and I hope one day you will, don't put them away till I shut up. Because you never know. Isaiah chapter 41, we're going to start at the 8th verse. The helper of Israel. And the greatest thing about Isaiah is pretty much everything he had to write about, he wrote about Jesus Christ. He wrote about who Christ would be. He wrote about the Messiah. So you could easily look at the helper of Israel at the beginning of that chapter and say, the helper of me. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8. "But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its furthest corners. I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All those who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel. For I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them and the wind will pick them up and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and the glory in the Holy One of Israel." You can bend. You won't break. You can get tossed about. You won't break. You can see the storm coming and live in it. You won't break. You are not alone. Believe you me, when somebody says to you, "Let me help you," let them. God is talking to you. Time for a joke. There was a great flood. Man sat on the roof of his house as the water started rising up. Some of you know this. And a man in a boat came by and said, "Hey, brother, let me help you in the boat and get you off this roof back to the ground where it's safe." And the man said, "No, sir, I'm waiting on the Lord." Another man in another boat come by. He said, "Let me take you off this roof and take you to the dry ground where it's safe." He said, "No, I'm waiting on the Lord." Finally, a helicopter hovered overhead and a guy with a bullhorn said, "Let me take you to safety." And the man said, "No, I'm waiting on the Lord." And the water rose up and the man drowned. He's up in heaven. He finally gets in there and he says, "God, why did you let me drown?" And God looks at him and said, "I sent you two boats and a helicopter. Do you think you would have listened?" In the storm, when you hear a voice say, "I want to help you," it's him talking through whomever. In the storm, when you hear the voice saying, "Hold my hand," it's God. In the storm, when you think you're just about to break, remember that Jesus Christ stood in front of everyone and said, "I am the Son of God, and I am prepared to die to save the sins of mankind. You will not break." Say it, "I will not break. I will bend but not break." as long as the Lord is my shepherd. Now, this is what I heard. So we're going to try this again. I heard a lot of blabbity, blabbity, blabbity. Now we're going to try it again. Ready? I will not break. I will not. I will bend. I will not break. And the Lord is my shepherd. Say amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the simplest moments, we find the greatest answers. In the midst of our trials and tribulations, we find you yet again smiling because you help us. In the midst of everything that we can possibly lay in front of ourselves, when we look around and say, I'm alone and I don't want anyone to help me, you're still there waiting. Bend us back and forth. Teach us. We will not break. We will not break. Wherever Jesus lies within us, wherever His Spirit carries through us, we will not break. Regardless of how silly we act, the sins we make, the arrogance that we carry, the moment that we're humbled, we know we're not breaking. We're simply being reset. Watch over and keep us as we go from here, Father. Lifting us up. Impress it upon our hearts that you send people to help us as a messenger from you in the most unique way. Let us hear them as they say, can I help you or can I do this for you? Thank you for Jesus Christ. Through His name we pray. Amen. Something on your heart today? Something binding you and not letting you breathe? If you don't know Jesus, today's the day. Salvation waits right here. Ain't nary a person in this room that wouldn't go out of here thanking and praising God. If your day today is to find our Lord and Savior and come forward, you will find that you are going to be swept into love that you don't know. So I beg you, if you're put upon in your heart with something you need prayer on, if you're ready to accept that call from Jesus, if you're ready to get to know Him, come forward when we sing this last song.
Please stand and turn to page 597.
Silver and my gold, not a
I pray in the week to come until we meet again that you be tossed but saved so that you may know His glory again and again and again and again. I pray His blessings upon you now and forevermore in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.